Psalm 103, a psalm of David. This is God's holy word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Having heard the word of God, what is your response? Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, tonight we come to the closing verses of Psalm 103, a favorite psalm of many, a psalm indeed of special content to the believer in Jesus Christ. It is in this psalm that the Lord shows to you and me what it means to experience the abundant life which is found in the covenant of grace, secured for us in Jesus Christ. It is in this psalm that we see the Lord set forth his unbreakable commitment to his blood-bought people. It is in this psalm that the Lord reminds us of the contrast between you, made of dust, fading away, and his everlasting loving kindnesses, his righteousness, which is to children's children. And we come now to verses 19 through 22, and this psalm comes to a climax as we behold, as we see, and as we embrace that the Lord alone is worthy of universal praise. The Lord alone is worthy of universal praise. And there is no better way to close out 2024 than to be reminded of this great truth, that the Lord alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is worthy of universal praise. And this is for three reasons. First of all, because of his exalted position. Secondly, because of his all-encompassing rule. And lastly, because all owe it to him. And so tonight, as we look at God's word, as God speaks to us from verses 19 through 22, may we learn that the Lord alone is worthy of universal praise. And he is worthy of universal praise, first of all, because of his exalted position. We read verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in heaven. The Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is King. He is King by his own appointment. He has not been elected King by democracy. He is not King because of a republic which has somehow voted him into office. He is not king because of the decision of an oligarchy, not a monarch limited by parliament. He is king. And he has indeed, by his own appointment, established his throne in the heavens. He is the absolute monarch, king of kings, lord of lords. All are his subjects. All are dependent upon him every moment of every day. All are given leave by him. All owe tribute to him. He has the final say in everything, and there is no court of appeals beyond him. Listen to what we read in Psalm 9, verses 7 and 8. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord is worthy of universal praise because he is king. But this passage, verse 19, says he is king in heaven. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens. His position is therefore glorious. Glorious. What splendor can be compared to the throne of the King of Kings? Heaven streets are paved with gold. Precious stones in heaven are but the door handles. What then of his throne? And what of him who sits upon the throne? He is king in heaven. What beauty, what awe. He takes our breath away. If but one glimpse of him in his glory, what would be our response? Would we not be as Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, falling down and saying, woe is me, I am undone, I am cut off, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Would we not be as the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1, as the glorified God-man is revealed unto him, and he falls down, that is, John falls down as a dead man. Think even of the holy and sinless seraphim in heaven who cover their eyes with two of their wings because the sight is too glorious for them to glimpse upon. He is exalted in his position as king in heaven. We too would fall to the ground in breathless wonder as we behold him in his exalted position. His position cannot be shaken. It is fixed. It is established. It is immovable. It is unchangeable. It is out of the reach of any pretenders to the throne. And though this is the case, and it is the case, make no mistake about it, though this is the case, think how sad it is that so many seek to usurp his position. How sad it is that his immovable, unchangeable, fixed, and established position does not stop one's trying to topple him, whether it be Satan, whether it be the rulers of this earth, whether it be authorities, whether it be men, whether it be women, whether it be children. Sadly, by nature, we seek to dethrone God in order that you and I might be enthroned in his place. But it will not do. His throne is established in the heavens, fixed and immovable. And think about this. Think about this. If this is his exalted position, then he is worthy of universal praise. He is worthy of your praise tonight. Is he not? Is he not worthy of your personal praise tonight? His exalted position is the security of every true believer. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who is he who condemns? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Many think wrongly of God, that God is somehow in heaven, watching the things on earth, and he's up there wringing his hands, helpless and hapless, the old man upstairs. Nothing could be further from the truth. Even those who profess his name often have low thoughts of God. questioning his wisdom, chafing underneath of his rule, grumbling at his providence. But tonight is a wake-up call for you and me, a wake-up call for all that the Lord, because of his exalted position, is worthy of your praise. God is not asleep at the wheel. He is enthroned on high. Our God is in heaven, and he does whatsoever he does please. This is the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Lord alone is worthy of universal praise because of his exalted position. But he doesn't just have a position. He rules. He rules. And this is our second point tonight. The Lord alone is worthy of universal praise because of his all-encompassing rule. Not just his exalted position, but also because of his all-encompassing rule. What does verse 19 say? The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Over all time, he rules. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The prophet Isaiah declared, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Oh, our God rules over all time, from the beginning to the end, indeed declaring the end from the beginning. He rules over all places, over heaven, over earth, over the remotest regions of the universe, and even over hell itself. Sometimes we get the false impression that Satan is going to rule over hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is God who rules over hell. I'm reminded of Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. God's all-encompassing rule is a rule over all time and over all places, over all creation. Think with me of Psalm 147. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes the grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. This is your God. His all-encompassing rule over all creation. It's a temptation in a scientistic age to believe that we can explain things. But we fool ourselves. The best that we do is we describe things. We do not explain things. The reasons why. We describe things. What is? God is the reason why. He is the one who causes the rain to fall, the sun to shine. How easy it is to complain about the weather. To say it's too cold, to say it's too hot, to say that it's too foggy, to say that the daylight hours are too short at the end of December. But God rules over all. His all-encompassing rule is over all creation, and he does all things well. And he rules not only over all time, all places, and all creation. He rules over all creatures, from the smallest bacteria to the great blue whale, from the tiny mutated virus to the great leviathan which plays in the depths of the sea. He rules over all angels. He rules over all men. He rules over all fallen angels and even over the devil himself. Even though the world and devils are in rebellion against God, this does not limit God's all-encompassing rule. While it is clear that Scripture teaches, that God teaches, He is not the author of sin, to state so would be blasphemous. He is not the author of sin, but He overrules sin and disposes it for His own holy ends. Think how God's Word puts it in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. What king? All kings. Whether it be Nebuchadnezzar, whether it be Sennacherib, whether it be Putin, whether it be Biden or Trump, whether it be Trudeau, all of the hearts of all of the kings are in His hand, and He turns it whithersoever He wills. Proverbs chapter 16, the Lord has made all things for Himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Even the rolling of the dice is overruled by God Himself. And yes, even the Lord rules over satanic instruments in this world. Think of Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, it is there that the Apostle John is shown a vision of the great harlot who rides upon the beast. Here the harlot is indeed the seductress of Satan himself, who seeks to allure you away from fidelity and faithfulness unto Christ. And the beast is the composite rule of the kingdom of darkness, which seeks to attack and to foil and destroy Christ and His church. And yet, what does Revelation chapter 17 and verse 17 say? First of all, the angel speaking to the Apostle John says, "Why did you marvel at her?" You may remember that when John sees the harlot on the beast, he marvels. And the angel says, "Why did you marvel?" There's nothing to marvel about here. But then the angel goes on and reveals something. He says, "For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill His purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled." God rules over all. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And this is why He alone is worthy of universal praise. He rules over all time. He rules over all places. He rules over all creation, over all creatures, but He most especially rules over His people. He rules over them and over all others for their benefit because His people are the apple of His eye. He disposes all persons and all things according to His will unto His great glory and for the stunning good of His blood-bought people. The Shorter Catechism asks the question, how does Christ execute the office of a king? And the answer, Christ executes the office of a king in subduing us unto Himself, in ruling and defending us, and in restraining and conquering all His and our enemies. The resurrected Jesus, what does He say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Me. He alone, with the Father and the Spirit, is worthy of universal praise because of His all-encompassing rule. And think about it. Think about it as it pertains to salvation, as this pertains unto the forgiveness of sin, as this pertains unto restoration to a right relationship with your Creator. If God doesn't rule over your fallen, sinful heart, there is no hope for you. Zero. None. But because He does, there is all hope. There is indeed all expectation. We are stubborn and we won't come unto Christ on our own, but He conquers our stubborn hearts, makes us willing in the day of His power, grants us faith and repentance, and draws us with irresistible cords of love. This is the rule and reign of our God. You and I are dead in our sins and trespasses, and we won't come. And what does He do? He makes us alive in Christ. We are deaf, and we will not hear His voice, and yet He gives us ears to hear. We are blind, and we will not see, and He opens our eyes to behold the beautiful Savior Jesus Christ. We are ignorant and we won't understand, but God enlightens our darkened minds so that we indeed understand the truth as it is in Jesus. We are as unstable as water and would turn back and never make it to the end if it were not for the all-encompassing rule of our God persevering us all the way to the end. We have enemies stronger than we are. The flesh, the world, the grave, the tyrannical master of Satan himself. And yet, our God, the Lord, He rules over all. And this gives great comfort to us tonight. If we but catch a glimpse of how great our God is, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. What do the thunderous voices of Revelation say? Alleluia! That's the response. What is the refrain of Psalm 103? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, are you grateful tonight that His loving, sovereign will prevails over your stubborn will? Are you grateful? Are you thankful tonight that this is your God? Some want to rejoice in something like free will. Well, if God is like this, then that means that I don't have free will. And that disturbs them. But I love what Mr. Martin Luther said many years ago. He said this: I frankly confess that for myself, even if it could be, I should not want free will to be given me, nor anything to be left in my own hands to enable me to endeavor after salvation. Not merely because in face of so many dangers and adversities and assaults of devils, I could not stand my ground and hold fast my free will. For one devil is stronger than all men, and on these terms, no man could be saved. But because even were there no dangers, no adversities, no devils, I should still be forced to labor with no guarantee of success and to beat my fists at the air. If I lived and worked to all eternity, my conscience would never reach comfortable certainty as to how much it must do to satisfy God. But now that God has taken my salvation out of the control of my will, and put it under the control of His will, and promised to save me, not according to my working or my running, but according to His own grace and mercy, I have the comfortable certainty that He is faithful, and that He will not lie to me, and that He is also great and powerful, so that no devils or opposition can break Him or pluck me from His hand. Amen? This is our God. And the Lord alone is worthy of universal praise because of His exalted position, because of His all-encompassing rule. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom
rules over all.
This leads to our last point tonight. Why does your God deserve universal praise, deserve your personal praise from the depths of your heart with all that you've got tonight? Because of his exalted position, because of his all-encompassing rule, and lastly, because all owe it to him. All owe it to him. Verses 20, 21, and 22 drive this truth home. The angels owe it to him. First of all, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasures. There's a threefold description of the heavenly angels. They're called angels, hosts, and servants, or ministers. The angels are made by God for himself. They are his angels, and therefore they owe to God universal praise. They are preserved by God. They are his angels. He preserved them in the great apostasy when Lucifer fell with those who followed him. They are enabled by God with strength, with purity, and with will to heed the voice of his word. All these things belong to them, but all glory belongs to God. These are the ones who do his word, hear his word, heed the voice of his word, and do his pleasure without ceasing with great joy. And they are the ones who are called here to bless the Lord. Yes, all owe it to the Lord. Universal praise is owed to the Lord by all. The angels owe it to him. All creatures owe it to him. That's what verse 22 says. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. All inanimate creatures owe it to him. The sun, moon, rocks, and trees. All animate creatures owe universal praise unto God to bless his holy name. From the elephant to the mouse. From the Tyrannus Rex to the grasshopper. All who are endowed with reason owe it to the Lord to praise him. All that hear, now to his temple draw near and join me in glad adoration. Angels, hosts, servants, all his works in all places of his dominion, bless the Lord. And note how this psalm comes to a crescendo four times. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And all of this is like the crescendo of Revelation chapter 19, which we already heard this evening. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. And this is the same burst of exuberance of Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. Universal praise is owed unto God alone by all. And this psalm ends, moving from archangels to heavenly hosts, to all creatures, to a return back to me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's not an excuse that the angels do it better than me. It's not an excuse that the archangels do it louder than me. It's not an excuse that the sun, moon, and stars never fail to give glory to whom glory is due. No, all of this should provoke me. Provoke me to praise my God. As Matthew Henry said many years ago, all of this does not excuse David from praising God. It excites him to do it more cheerfully and to take his part. And why not? Christ is King over me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is how this psalm ends. And as this psalm ends with these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, it primes us to start the song all over again. Because this is where verse 1 began. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good and renews your youth like the eagles. You see, the psalm ends the way it began because it is a never-ending song. It is a song which will never end for all eternity. An unbroken circle of praise. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Is that your song at the close of 2024? Is that your song at the close of this year? Is this your God? Who is worthy of your praise? To close your lips tight and fast bound in the face of who God is dangerous. But to open your lips in praise, which never ends, is delight. Forever and ever. And so, will you take it to heart tonight that this is the one who alone deserves universal praise from you? Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, our gracious Father in heaven, that you have told us the truth, that you have revealed yourself to us, that you have opened our eyes to see, that you have unstopped our ears to hear. You have replaced our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. You have straightened our crooked wills, to long to join our voices to the never-ending song of blessing, glory, honor, and power which is due unto you and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever. And so as we close out this year, may we do so in praise to you. And Lord, if you by your providence in ruling over us, enable us to see the turning of the calendar into the year 2025. May we go forth with every step saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. May 2025 be a year filled with praise to you, our great God, who has not dealt with us according to our iniquities, nor punished us according to our sins, but rather, as your loving kindness is higher than the heavens, you have removed our iniquities from us as far as the east is from the west. We praise you. We worship you.
We honor you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.